All right, welcome to the First Gen Life podcast. I'm Claire.
I am Serene.
I'm Cameron.
And I'm Spencer.
And so today is...
We should probably explain what our podcast is.
Yeah, go for it.
So the Gen Life podcast is a podcast keeping with our Gen Life magazine that is mostly just, we're going to be talking about general what it's like to live as a 20, 30-something in modern-day society. You know, a lot of people feel kind of displaced, and so we're here to talk about that together. And, you know, what's cool, what's not, what we like. So, yeah, give it a listen.
We are based in Manitoba, Canada, and are in the southern Manitoba region in Winnipeg.
That is correct. Thank you, Cam.
Well, you know, what if there's some international viewers? Probably don't know where we are.
If there's international viewers, they won't know where Winnipeg, Manitoba is anyway.
Now you can look it up on a map.
Have you ever gone to the States? They don't know what provinces are.
They don't know what anything is, but anyways.
Actually, I was looking on the internet today, and I found another place. I think it was in Montana that's actually called Winnipeg. I thought that we're the only Winnipeg in the world, but there's another Winnipeg that exists.
Bizarre.
Right? I was really surprised.
There must be some muddy water there. That's what it means.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Solve that. Anyway, so our first subject.
We are talking about corporate culture and startups and millennials. So the segment that we have next for you guys, I chatted with a person who I can't name her because she says some stuff about the company, but she works in HR at Skip the Dishes, which is a food delivery company that started in Saskatchewan and they moved to Winnipeg and now they've just taken off. So I chatted with her for a little bit about what it's like working for Skip.
The official title is Career Success. So I work with the couriers, and the job that I do there is they give us a call when they need either help using the app, they need help managing literally their account and finances, and have general questions with the network.
How would you describe the corporate culture in Skip from your perspective?
From my perspective, I would say that the general atmosphere is, it's cool because they're learning how to be a big company.
Yeah. And then from the company perspective, what would you say the values and ethics?
Yeah, it's that really hard-working ethic, and I'm talking like people that live there basically.
Yeah.
The people that you find there are the ones that would have done it whether you asked them or not.
Yeah.
So that's the real atmosphere of it, is you're gonna find people like this is their baby. Like there's the people that this is their baby and they're not letting go of their baby anytime soon, and they're gonna let it grow up and and do great things with it. And then you got the people that are pretty dedicated to really carving out a corporate structure for it, which would be more like some of the people.
That's cool. What's the vision of corporate culture that you guys have?
You know, with places like Google and places like literally anything that's like Forbes, kind of 100 list or otherwise, they literally have entire teams devoted just to being sure that there's communication between each team that's doing
like
things.
Communication.
That is somebody's job. It's not even to analyze. It's not even to like think about. It's literally to be sure that all of the information that's supposed to be going to one person or whatever is actually heading there.
Yeah.
So we have been kind of finding that, you know, once upon a time, the, what's it called, the atmosphere was that, well, you know, we're small enough that if I see, you know, eventually everyone will get to know what I'm saying or what we're doing, or they'll hear about it through the grapevine and be able to, you know, do things like you're supposed to. Not so much anymore. We are enormous.
Cool. So that was a great segment. And now I want to ask you guys, what is the worst job you've ever had and why?
Oh, God. I can go first if you guys want. So the worst job I've ever had, I worked for A&W on Deacon's Corner, which it was a good time. You know, made some burgers, fried some food, joked around. But I got fired from that job for cheese. And I and shall
for
not
cheese.
Wait,
for cheese.
Up. You got fired for cheese.
For cheese.
This needs a more thorough explanation.
Did you make a shitty pun about it?
I did not. It would have been cheesy though.
Cam, no.
So this is what happened. So I worked in the back. I was a fry cook because I was too ugly to be up front.
As you do.
As you do. And so it was connected to a Petro-Can, right? Petro-Canada for you American viewers.
Viewers? Do we have viewers on a podcast?
Listeners. So it's connected to Petro-Canada, Petro-Can. And so it's all the same owner that owns the building, right? So he comes over. And this guy smoked a fair bit of weed, so he says to me, Cam, I want you to make me a grandpa burger, a load of cheese and bacon, man. Like, just f***ing load it. So I'm like, okay, I'll load her up. So I'm like, how many slices do you want? He says, eight slices of each, right? So I'm like, sure. So I throw on 8 slices of cheese, 8 slices of bacon, and I bring it out to him up front, and then the girl at the till punches it in, and he takes some pictures and puts it on Facebook because, you know, that's what we do. And anyways, the next day I come into work, and then I get sent to the boss's office, the owner. I'd never talked to him in my life. And he goes, you guys are all thieves. And we said, what? And he goes, how many slices of cheese went on that grandpa burger last night, the one on Facebook there? And I'm like, I don't know. I think he told me like 8. Yeah. Well, he was only charged for 4. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I pull out a 20. I'm like, I'm so sorry, you know? Like, I didn't mean to do that. And he told me 8, so I threw on 8. He's like, nope, you're all thieves, and you're all fired. And what? I'm like,
yo.
No.
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 I'm pretty sure it's against labor laws.
It definitely was against labor laws because, like, I had just asked for a raise too, like 2 weeks before this.
Yo.
Right? So, anyways, so I went home. I got a ride home with, you know, so he fired me, he fired the guy from Petro, and he fired the girl who put it in at the till. He fired three people.
Over 8 slices of cheese and bacon.
4, really, because he paid for the other 4.
Right, right.
So I went home and I told my parents, and they didn't believe me naturally. They thought I did some stupid shit. So they went back and they yelled at him a bit, and then we sent the labor board on him, and I don't know what's happened since then. He banned me from the store, too, so I started coming in all the time.
So, yeah. As one would, of course, yeah.
How could he fire the Petro employee, though?
Because he owned both of them. So he said he was taking advantage of his discount because, you know, it's 4 slices of cheese. I bet he was hurting. So, you know what? I feel for the guy.
It's a filler. Yeah, it's like that story about it happened a few months ago. Tim Hortons, like in Ontario, when they raised the minimum wage, those franchise owners, they sent the employees a letter and they're like, we're getting rid of all of your benefits and you guys don't get paid breaks anymore because we can't make any more money. Is that really true? Like, I don't know. I don't really...
Well, franchises only make about $265,000 a year profit, single franchises. So unless they're owned in a string of franchises, it actually is really, really a big cost on them. Minimum wage is a touchy subject, obviously, because wages have been stagnant in this country in general for so long.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to know that we shouldn't be going after the small employers for minimum wage. We should be going after the large ones because it's everyone else that is suffering. The minimum wage is not supposed to be a wage that... You know, like, there's people that make $15 an hour in Ontario. Their wages aren't going up, so they've all just got poorer.
Yeah, you're right.
So they need to find incentives to get, you know, young professionals like ourselves and everyone else. How do we get the industries that we go into to pay us a fair wage? Because business are making record profits, but wages are stagnant. Mm. So if you start from minimum wage, my opinion is it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. Serene, what's the worst job you ever had?
Okay, so the worst job I ever had was very brief. I only worked about, I think, maybe 3 shifts, but I think you will understand why. So my sister got me a job because her brother worked at, I can't remember what the name of it, but it's one of the clubs that was in the exchange. It's like the one that was right by Deer and Almond, but now it's closed.
Is it Citizen? Like, it is Citizen now?
It
or
now,
yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I know the one you mean. Yeah.
So that one. So I got a job as a barback, and I worked, actually the first shift, I wasn't even working there. The first shift, they sent me over to Opera, which I guess they have affiliation with, which now is it 529 Main?
429.
Four,
441. It's 441.
Now it's 441 Main.
No one's got stabbed there yet.
It was pretty atrocious. It was the messiest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh my god!
They had white couches. By the end of the night, we had to scrub them all down with bleach because people there was like drinks of like 20 different kinds of liquor all over the couches. There were footprints on the backs of the couches.
Probably some bodily fluids.
Bodily fluids, I was going to say. Fluids.
It was pretty gross. The floor was just a mess. There was like a half inch of just mysterious liquids on the entire dance floor. It was disgusting.
Did you get paid minimum wage?
I did.
Yeah. There we go. Nice.
And then, so my second and third shift, I was back at the proper bar, the one that had actually hired me. And it was very crowded. It wasn't as gross as it was at opera, but it was pretty sketchy. And I got paid in cash under the table. And after my second day of work, my first night working there proper, they're like, hey, so we have all of these rags. We need you and the other bareback to just, like, go and wash them all.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me? Like, okay. And then, like, as I was going into my third shift, I found out after that it's, like, super affiliated with the mob.
Whoa! Like,
oh.
What?
Suddenly this makes more sense. I should just believe.
Oh my God.
And so I quit after my third shift. It was super, super sketchy.
Oh my God. So did they just let you go? Like, they were like, okay, goodbye. Like, when you walked in and...
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, so I don't think this is a good fit for me. I'm gonna quit. But
huh. Like,
okay. It seemed that there was a pretty decent turnover rate, which I definitely understand why. It was pretty bad.
Oh my God.
So that is my worst job. Claire, how about you?
My worst job. My job right now isn't great, but I don't think it's the worst. The job I had before this one, I worked in a clothing store at the Forks. I might edit that out. That was like kind of okay. Actually, I will say it. It's called Global Connections. It's on the second floor of the Johnson Terminal in the Forks. It's like that kind of hippie store across from the toy store.
Yeah, my auntie owns it, actually.
Your auntie owns it?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If she really did, Spencer, I hope you wouldn't say it until she backed.
Whoa,
it.
Yeah, I was like,
guys, if you could
wow.
only see the face that Claire made right now.
The whiplash. Holy.
I should have waited.
People make the expression that, like, they turned white. She literally turned white like
I felt the blood drain like, away from my face.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
She shrunk down like a turtle. Her face went
white. Oh, my God.
It was hilarious.
Wow. Okay. That's so, funny. Yeah. Okay. She, the owner, it was actually a couple that owns it, a husband and wife, and she used to be pretty popular in high school, and he was kind of the nerd, and then that's when they got together. This is all important to the job, like this backstory. And then she was traveling around the world, I think in Asia, and she ended up getting into an accident and really hurting her back. And she's had chronic health issues ever since. So she wears like a back brace and stuff. And she spends a lot of her time at home, which is really sad. But we had store like cameras around the store. And what she would do is she would just sit at home on the couch all day in front of the TV watching us on these cameras. And so whenever we would just stop or like look at your phone to check the time or something, she would get on the store phone and just call you and be like, hey, God. What are you doing?
Wow, that
what
is
are you?
Like a super invasion of
it's
privacy.
Very.
I feel like that's every employee's like worst nightmare
it's
when there
horrible.
Are cameras in the store, but nobody actually does it.
It's horrible. Yeah. And so we'd have to constantly just like come up with these excuses. And then whenever because she would come in to the store like once or twice a week, and we'd always just kind of have to run behind her and make it look like we were doing things. But yeah, I stayed there for I think a year and a half, and the only reason why I was there that long was because of the people I worked with. But yeah, I got paid minimum wage. It was a shitty job, and I would not go back there. Yeah, Spencer.
What was
that?
Pterodactyl?
I'm moving the mic
closer to me. Yeah, that's I know what you mean, though. I've worked those jobs before where you only stay because of the people you work with.
Yeah.
And, but that is not my job. My job is on a dairy farm in Bloomin'Ort. If you don't know where Winnipeg or Manitoba is, you definitely don't know where Bloomin'Ort is.
It definitely sounds like a made-up town.
Bloomin'Ort is the capital of Canada, confirmed.
Okay,
definitely.
No.
Landmark is not the center, Bloomin'Ort is.
I was just going to say, Bloomin'Ort sounds like the name of a place in Dr. Seuss.
Bloomin'Ort is a great little town. I encourage everyone to visit.
Yeah, it smells like cow 24/7. But yeah, I worked on a dairy farm just outside of Bloomin'Ort. And so I was working there for the summer, and it was about my second month there, and I did like morning milking, so get up at like 4 a.m. kind of thing. It
grab
already
it by
sucked.
The tits, right?
Grab it by the tits. But yeah, so that particular morning, it was about an hour into my shift. and I slipped on cow shit. And I landed like all in a big pile of cow shit. And it's like that's pretty normal at that kind of job though. So like it didn't faze me too much. I just had to like go change some clothes and whatever. And then around like 7 a.m., my job was to scoop like shit out of the conveyor belt they have like going around. And you have to like put it into this big black hole that just like sinks forever. It probably goes down to hell.
Just a shithole. Eh?
Yeah. Jeez, scout. Leave.
That was actually really good.
But so then whatever. I was doing that and it was like covering shit. It smelled like shit all day. And then there was like the last half that we had to milk because we'd milk the whole barn and then take those cows out and bring the other ones in to milk. So I was about halfway done, and then I walked between these two cows, and, like, we have, like, these little suction cups that we, like, roll down the line that we stick it on their udders and whatever. It does the milking for you, but I guess I startled one of the cows when I stepped in between two of them, and it kicked me right in that area that no guy wants to be kicked in, and it startled the cow next to her, and she kicked me in the exact same place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I was vomiting. After that, I walked. I told my boss that I was done, and he was nice though. Gave me severance.
Oh, so, so Spencer, either that job was bullshit or you just really milked it. You know what I mean?
Damn,
I love it.
Oh my God.
No, I didn't. I didn't milk that story at all. That's actually why I quit. But yes, no, it was bullshit.
Did you like live on the farm? Like, did it? Did
oh
smell
no,
of
I
shit?
Wasn't like Little House on the Prairie kind of thing. But
no, but did it like stick to you? Like, did you just smell like it all the time? Or?
Oh yeah, like it would even after showers, like you get little like whiffs of it or whatever. And it's like I just didn't like that.
And like, if smelling like shit didn't affect your sex life, getting kicked in the nuts twice by a cow probably fucking did. So
yeah, two make one, I guess. Jeez, I was wondering why I was single that summer, but.
Cool. Did you guys have any media recommendations that you want to give out this week or anything else that you want
to
talk about?
I would like to.
Let's go.
So, lots of you may have heard by now, but there's a new social media app out right now. It's called Vero. It's supposed to be like the next big thing, like Instagram and Twitter or whatever. And their servers have actually crashed about 6 times since it started gaining traction about 2 weeks ago. So it's like, it looks pretty promising, honestly. And it's like, I recommend if you're like a content creator, like photographer, videographer, to hop on it now.
What kind of social media is it?
It's actually really cool. It kind of incorporates everything, like Spotify and Twitter to Facebook to Instagram. It kind of has everything. Mm-hmm. And
what's it called again?
Vero. And so I'm just opening it up here. But like when you make posts, you can either make a post about a link you have, a song, album you have, a photo, a video, and other like recommendations and stuff like that. So it's like kind of like, or places you should go to eat and stuff like that. So it's kind of like
just combining everything.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a suitcase with a little bit of everything that you can share with your friends. And the really cool thing about it is you can rate your friends on there. So like it goes from like acquaintance to friend to close friend or whatever. And then when you make a post, you can actually decide who sees it, like only your close friends, your friends, or like everybody.
Oh, that's cool.
Sort of thing. So there's like a level of privacy to it that you don't like have to, like it's not mandatory kind of thing. So I don't know. I like it so far, and it's late. I really like the user engagement with it. It's really simple to use, and yeah, I recommend checking that out.
Cool. I think I saw something in the news about that. People were kind of like making a big deal about their like privacy policy or their rights and stuff. I think some people had gotten the impression or the idea that they take your photo and the rights to it, but I think Facebook and all of the other social media platforms do that as well. Do you guys know that? Like, know that for sure?
I know Instagram doesn't, but Tumblr did for sure. Like, lots of photographers got like screwed over with Tumblr because of that.
Huh?
Because they would sell users' photos as like stock images and make thousands off.
What about like VSCO?
VSCO, no, that's a completely like private.
It's private.
Closed up, yeah.
I just like throw stuff on there sometimes for just fun.
Quick edits.
I edit my photos in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's like cool to have like a quick album to look at and whatever. Like, yeah. Oh, I like that platform.
Oh, that's really cool. I'll have to check that app out.
Yeah, for sure.
Always good to have new social media apps. We haven't had a new one since Snapchat, and that's pretty crap. So
yeah, and I think that's why it's gaining so much traction too. Like, everybody's just been waiting. Like, Instagram and Twitter have just been dying lately.
Yeah, I mean, I always will like Instagram, but like, I don't know, you know.
It's definitely like the most user-friendly social media app out there. Like, it's so simple to use.
Yeah, and like, Facebook's great, but you know that they're just spying on you and selling your information to the devil, so.
Yeah.
I've tried to make a point of spending less and less time on Facebook, and especially being in this program, like, you don't really have much free time period, so it's like, yeah. Why would I want to scroll through mindless shit? I don't know. Like, have you guys, like, changed your opinions on sites like that at all before? Or?
I mean, I've never really been that into Facebook. It is the one that I've used the most, but I think it's just because it becomes like a mindless habit.
Yeah.
It's not something that I do where it's like, oh boy, I'm gonna go on Facebook.
Yeah.
And scroll through things for
oh
like
boy
20 minutes. It's so my excited. Favorite thing. It's more like,
whoa,
I'm bored, just scroll through the thing, or like, I'm watching a show and then the theme song comes up. It's like, well,
yeah,
turn on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mostly I just use Facebook, not even for like actual Facebook. I use like Facebook Messenger to chat with some friends.
Yeah.
Although most of us have moved on to Discord.
I've heard a little bit about, like, what is that? Can you, like, expand on that?
Yeah, so Discord is a chat app that was made just sort of for gamers. I mean, you can use it if you're not a gamer also.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the intention. Originally, it was just, like, a desktop thing, but cool. There's an app now. So you just can very easily, like, connect with your friends in, like, little chat rooms.
Cool.
And they'll just, like, stay up there forever, and you can really easily organize, like, which chat rooms you want to go to. So, like, me and my friends have, like, 5 different chat rooms with the same 4 friends. It's like, here's the one for what plans we're going to have, here's the one for what games we're playing,
yeah.
Here's the one for just random nonsense.
Is it kind of like WhatsApp then, or, like...
It's kind of like WhatsApp, but, like, more organized.
I see.
Because with WhatsApp, it's, like, all of your different chats are just in one giant list.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, they condense them into, like, little bubble windows with pictures in them. So you can quickly just sort through, like, here's the one picture that has, like, this group of friends, and you click that, and it'll expand, and then there'll be, like, the 5 different kinds of chats you have with those people.
Yeah, cool.
I prefer there's also
a voice thing with it, like a voice chat. We don't really use the voice chat too much. Mostly we just use it for the chatting.
Yeah.
It's good. I recommend it.
Cool.
So guys, just to touch on Vero, I just ran into this on Twitter. I'm going to try and find a credible source to back this up, but this guy tweeted, Vero is fun until I realized their CEO stopped paying salaries to 9,000 Filipino workers at his previous construction company, rendering them essentially homeless and reliant on food donations. And apparently the entire Vero staff is male dominated, and they have 1 female customer service. So okay, that might be down the drain.
Whoa.
So like, disregard my recommendation.
Yeah,
holy,
maybe they'll sell it, or the stocks will be, it'll go public or something. That normally helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dickheads can't really run companies that effectively for very long.
That's brutal.
I mean, they can.
I mean, like, Amazon is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, according to the Super Bowl ads.
Trump.
Trump isn't a great businessman. Like, let's be honest here. He's had a lot of failures. But Jeff Bezos, like, he portrays himself as, like, such a nice guy on, like, advertisements and stuff. So it's kind of funny.
Did you guys see that thing that they're going to start doing in the Amazon warehouses with, like, they're going to give them special bracelets or wristbands?
Yeah.
That will, like, it's supposed to, quote-unquote, help the employees find which item they're supposed to be putting in which box faster,
like,
I think.
Where they are.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, exactly. It locates where they are, so... I know personally that if I was working with Amazon, I wouldn't really feel comfortable with that, because it would be exactly like my previous job where the boss was watching me all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should replace it with like shock bracelets and they're not working hard.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like a little bit Big Brother.
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think what's going to be interesting though, like, our generation's going to feel this, is like, right now the whole world is being run by Gen X and baby boomers, right? They're pretty much running the world. It's like still an old boys club up there. But right now there's no emphasis on treating your employees very kindly. It's kind of like, make your profit and, you know, make your
step on people. Yeah.
But
I mean,
that's
I think
changing.
That has something to do with, like, that's just how it, like, air quotes, how it was back in the day.
Yeah, and that's part of it.
And I think, like, it's the whole, like, that's how they were treated as employees. And so that's how they know how to be employers.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. But you've also got to look at, like, how big the baby boom population is and how many people are going to retire and how many jobs they're going to have to fill and how nice they're going to have to start treating employees in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
So if, like, if my advice to everybody our age would be to get a skill and get experience so that in a decade from now, when the job market starts to open up and you get to start, you know, negotiating the way you'd want to as an employee, you're going to be golden. There's a lot of theories behind that. It's really cool.
Are you guys planning on working, like, kind of CRECOM jobs this summer, or are you going to just try and take a break from the program and just kind of relax for a bit? What's your plan?
It depends, yeah. To borrow Melanie's favorite words. If a super cool job that is CRECOM related comes up for the summer, then yeah, I would take it. If I'm not gonna, like, search for my dying breath,
yeah,
for it. If a job that I just seems like it would be okay comes up, then I'll probably be fine with that. And also, maybe I'll just decide, screw it, I don't want to work, I've worked myself to death in CRECOM. We'll see.
Yeah.
How about you?
Me? Yeah, I actually applied for one, like, over reading week. I sent in an application to, like, one of the cannabis companies that just got one of the licenses in Manitoba, just to kind of start building a resume, because I think that's what I want to do after I graduate. So haven't gotten an email back, but we'll see. But yeah, I think that might be what I end up doing. Or I could just take a break from the entire thing and just serve tables for 3 months, which wouldn't be the end of the world either. But yeah.
I've heard it's pretty tough to get a job with cannabis because they really try and weed out the bad ones.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm looking at getting, you know, anything that pays, you know, $12.75 an hour and up.
Yeah.
For the summer, that's somewhat communications related.
Yeah.
I could obviously make more money doing hard labor, but I think I've worked my day in hard labor.
Yeah.
I mean, I built basements last summer, and let me tell you, it's not fun.
Don't you have a landscaping business, though?
I do, but it's going to be, my brother is trying to get his apprenticeship to do deals with mechanics right now. So we talked about it, and we're doing it part-time only again this year. So, yeah, that covers some, like, you know, we get some work on weekends and a couple, you know, evenings and stuff. Well, I'll make a couple $1,000 with it.
Yeah, it's nice money.
Totally, yeah, but it's not good enough for full-time.
If you built basements last summer, would you say that you started working from the ground floor up?
Started from the bottom, now I'm here. That was a good one. I appreciated that. I'm contagious.
I feel dirty.
What about you, Spencer? What are you going to be up to?
I applied at a marketing agency a couple of weeks back, so I've been emailing them back and forth. I think I'll probably get an interview soon there.
Nice.
And I'm hoping for that, but other than that, just wedding photography.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you do pretty well with wedding photography, so I can't go wrong with that. I'm thinking I'm going to try and apply to some nonprofits that like dog shelters and stuff.
Nice.
So that I could just get paid to play with dogs.
Yeah.
And it'll go on my
official
experience.
Resume.
I'll even take, like, if that was the job, I'd even take minimum because I have my landscaping company to make real money.
Yeah. So you're planning on doing that then, I guess? Or you just set it yourself, if you get a minimum wage job, then you will set up your landscaping company?
I'm
going to
do it regardless. It's part-time, though.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. Gotta love how money makes the world go round.
Did you see that video of the lady? I think she works at his pet value store.
That was, like, beating the dog as she was
cutting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so sad.
That's brutal.
Ridiculous. Like, why did you pick that job?
So sad. Damn. I saw yesterday, this is completely, like, totally switching lanes, but that the guy who created Pizza Pops was from Winnipeg.
Yeah,
did you guys
died.
See that?
Yeah.
And he
I never
died.
Knew that before.
I actually knew that already.
I did not.
I
think that I did
not. A friend of my brother's is, like, somewhat distantly related to the guy.
That's crazy.
And also distantly related to the guy that invented cream soda.
Is he from Winnipeg too?
I think so.
What? Oh my god. But yeah, like
it was like his great uncle or something.
Holy.
Or something.
Pizza Pops were, like, a really big part of my childhood, though, so I feel like something has kind of been taken away from me.
I mean, they're so trashy, but sometimes you just need a Pizza Pop.
Yeah, I don't even eat them anymore, but still, like, I was sad to hear that he had passed away. Like,
do they even have them in other places, or is it just...
No, yeah, I think that they're only available in Canada.
In the States, they have pizza pockets.
Oh, those are trash. Yeah. It's like bread. It's like pizza and bread. It's like a pizza sandwich.
Those are too bad.
Or Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets they have there, yeah. Everything in the States, like, take every processed food that we have here. Every food they have in the States, the process is, like, next level process. Like, spray cheese.
Oh my god.
That is disgusting.
So gross. Ugh.
Why would you want to spray your cheese? That's what I don't understand. Like, did people sit at the dinner table in America and just go, hey, son, got you. Like, this is stupid to me. Like,
oh my god. Imagine, like, asking your dad to, like, pass a spray cheese. That would never happen. Like, that's so weird.
He'd probably be like, the day you asked me that is the day I'm no longer your dad.
I swear we had spray cheese at some point in Canada. Like, maybe not for a long time, but I swear it existed at some point.
I'm pretty sure it still does. Nobody buys it, though.
I'm sure you can go to Ontario and find it. You can find everything in the States.
Do you guys remember those weird... I think they were, like, ketchup and... mustard and relish, but they were dyed purple.
I love the purple ketchup so much.
It made your KD look like literal cow.
Yeah.
It made it look brown because of the mixture of colors. It was the worst.
Oh my god.
Okay, that reminds me. So, Winnipeg is sort of a test market for like new products.
Huh.
I guess because of like the amount of diversity here.
Yeah.
So my mom was telling me that when she was younger, like around my age, Old Dutch was testing new fruit-flavored chips.
Oh, yummy.
They had grape and orange, and she said it was the most disgusting thing she'd ever eaten. Only sold them for like a month or two because they were that bad.
I don't doubt that. I mean, why would you flavor a vegetable as a fruit? That alone is stupid. It's like, oh, do you want my banana-flavored carrot? No. I just want a bloody banana.
Damn. But, I mean, the whole, like, sweet potato chips, every now and again it comes up again. Like, when Lay's had one of their flavor contests where it was cinnamon bun-flavored chips.
Oh, yeah, I remember that meme.
Did you have them?
No, anyway. I didn't try them, yeah.
So, first of all, they're like, the taste is just weird, because why is your potato chip sweet? But the weirder thing is that they were, like, somehow almost soggy. It's weird. It's like if you took a potato chip and, like, you run it under the tap for a second and then just, like, left it on the counter overnight, like, that was the texture of the chip.
Ugh.
It was wrong.
Here's an idea.
The texture was wrong.
So there's clearly some people that think that potato chips should be sweet, right? What if...
Are there?
Well, companies, anyways.
Yeah,
Can we just pelt them with potatoes?
What if you made chips out of sweet potatoes?
Damn.
Okay, well, sweet potatoes are disgusting, so don't.
They're not even potatoes. They grow in trees. But I think that's an idea. If you're listening, Lay's, this is owned by Cameron Eason, and I expect royalties.
I don't think that's how royalties work.
They do now. I'll use this in court.
What court? The kangaroo court?
All right, so I wanted to talk about... I recently wrote an article on secondhand thrifting, and I wanted to know how often you all secondhand shop for clothing and other goods.
So, because I'm a student and really fucking poor, secondhand shopping is kind of all I have, so that's great. But I used to thrift shop a lot, like at Salvation Army and Valley Village and stuff, but I've recently moved away from physical stores ones. Like that. Yeah, corporate stores to people who sell their clothes on like Depop and stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's this girl, her handle is Internet Girl, and she's super popular on Instagram and stuff. I buy a lot of my clothes from her, but I do use that a lot. And even if I had more money, I think I would try and kind of keep going in the same direction, because I don't like the idea of fast fashion and how quickly we get rid of clothes. Because I think that we should just put more of an emphasis on quality things, you know what I mean? And even if somebody else bought something before and then they gave it up, you can have another chance with that piece, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I do not buy too many secondhand clothes on account of I am a weird disproportionate man. I'm like 6'1" with incredibly long arms and legs, like to the point where if I'm standing up and my arms are just dangling, my fingers go below my butt. Like, that's not normal.
It's like a gibbon.
Yeah,
it is. Oh, come on.
Like, I had a weird moment where I was with my boyfriend on the couch the other day, and he's like, wait, if your arms are so long, can you, like, reach into your pockets while you're sitting down? It's like, yeah, isn't that normal? He's like, no, what?
I can reach into my back pocket sitting down, no problem.
No, front pocket.
Yeah?
Maybe that, it's just him being weird.
Maybe he has really tiny arms. Yeah. Is he a T-Rex? First question.
He may be a T-Rex. I did not.
Does he have feathers?
Ask, but perhaps I should.
Does he have feathers? If he's a T-Rex.
Cam, not with the feathered dinosaurs.
For those of you who don't know, I get really angry when people depict dinosaurs that had feathers without them.
Yeah, he hates
the Jurassic Park World was awful.
For this reason. I told him, just go watch the awful Dinosaur Island movie that has feathered dinosaurs. It's not good.
It's better.
What about you, Spencer? Do you ever thrift shop?
Not often. I go to Value Village pretty often, but I only buy, like, books and stuff there. If I see, like, a jacket or, like, actually when I was working construction, I found, like, a really sweet Carhartt vest, and for, like, people who have worked construction, you know, those are like $200. I found it there for like $15.
And it's like fireproof, so.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, that's pretty much the only thing I've ever bought secondhand, but yeah, it's mostly just books and whatever.
Hmm. What about you?
Well, considering I wrote the article, I buy nothing secondhand. I do try, like, when it comes to, like, electronics and expensive things that I don't feel like spending money on, I will try and get it. Like, I did try and get school. So I got my camera, for example, my DSLR camera. I got that secondhand.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
Yeah. The MacBook, it's like $100 difference from an old one to a new one. Yeah. So I just said I'll get a new one.
Yeah.
But when it comes to electronics and stuff, I definitely would recycle. Like, I always buy refurbished phone stuff. I'll always buy, like, if I buy a TV, like, I'll buy, like, the floor model so that it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Because, like, I like to save money. But when it comes to clothing, like, I wear the shit out of my clothes.
Yeah, that's good.
I have clothing that I've worn since I was, like, 15, 16, and it still fits. So, you know, if you can't wear it in public anymore, just wear it around the house, paint in it, you know, garden in it.
Sleep all in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sleep in it. Yeah. Okay. Have all of you seen Black Panther yet?
Yes.
No.
No.
See it?
Okay. So, yes, go see Black Panther. Oh, okay, so...
The commercials didn't hype me up at all.
If you like superhero movies and or spy movies, you should go see Black Panther.
And sci-fi.
It's one of the best, both of them. Yeah, also sci-fi.
I found that, like, as a superhero movie, it wasn't, wow, so superhero-y. I found as a sci-fi movie, as a spy movie, it had such a good story to it.
It was,
like,
pretty superhero-y. As someone who, like, does read superhero comics, it's pretty superhero-y.
I found there's, like, a lot less scenes of the Black Panther fighting as the Black Panther than you would see in, like, any, like, Spidey, you know?
There was, like, an action scene of him in his suit every 10 minutes.
I guess. I've personally found, like, there was more story than superhero. Which I think is good.
Yeah.
I thought it, like, it's good for everyone.
The only reason I've hesitated so far and seen it is because one of my buddies told me that it was better than The Dark Knight, and I already know that it won't be.
Yeah, it was. So,
it was?
It was.
I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
It's different than The Dark Knight.
Well, they have the same ears on their masks. Therefore, they're comparable.
I mean, like...
Sure.
It's a reach, but I think he's getting there.
It's not just a reach. Like, I have to rip my arm off and put it higher. Yeah, that's okay.
I do like that the villain is, like, kind of sort of alternate universe Batman, though.
Yeah. And the villain is interesting because he's a radical idiot, obviously, most villains are, but he has a point.
Yeah, so the thing that I think... Black Panther got really right in the villain is it takes the idea of no one thinks that they're the bad guy and kind of runs with it, where his ideals and his beliefs are not inherently bad. They actually make a lot of sense, and he does have proper footing to stand on them, but it's in how he goes about inflicting his beliefs on other people that it kind of falls apart. I mean that in a good way, in that he's a complex character that has flaws. But his goals are just. He just takes them a little bit too far, and I think that's way more interesting than any of the other Marvel movie villains whose motivation is I'm evil and want power.
There is no good and evil. There is only power.
What would you guys rate the movie out of 10, then?
I would give it maybe, like... as high as an 8.5 or a 9, honestly.
Really?
It was really good.
Probably go 8.2.
I've had friends, like, because I haven't seen it. I was planning on going and seeing it over reading week, but I just had so much stuff to do that I didn't get around to it. But one of my friends who saw it, she said that it was good because of the representation, but in terms of story and dialogue, it was pretty typical Marvel / superhero movie. Is that true? I disagree with that.
I think it's, I mean, it is another superhero movie. So if you're going in expecting something completely different, you're not going to find it
there
because it is still a Marvel superhero movie. But I found that it's a lot more genuine than most of the other Marvel movies. In its emotions and its characters, they seem more real and like they're being more emotionally honest about themselves and about the world and their feelings. Hmm. Whereas the other most emotional Marvel movie, I guess, would be like the Guardians of the Galaxy films, who are open about their emotions, but they're very cynical about it.
Yeah.
It's a very like, oh, whatever, I don't care, but actually I do care.
Yeah.
And so it comes off as like really not genuine, and I get that that's kind of the vibe that they're going for. So it works in that, but this just feels like it's actually honest and real, and I appreciated that. And so to me, it was a bit of a breath of fresh air.
I also think it's interesting, like a lot of the media was hyping up the representation, and what I really liked about the movie is that instead of making it a spectacle, they just came out and made a movie that's set in Africa.
Yeah.
And they didn't preach.
Yeah.
They made a good movie with an almost all black cast, and they didn't go out of their way to say, look at us, we have an all black, which is what, you know, a lot of movies would probably try to do.
See, on the other hand, though, I think it was simply
a good movie.
Well, it's a good movie, and I agree that they didn't, like, go thrusting it in your face, like, oh, look, we're all black. But on the other hand, I do think that it managed to tell a story that is, like, inherently a black story.
Totally,
They could not tell that story as a different ethnicity. If they were all white people, the story just simply wouldn't work.
Yeah.
No.
And it has a lot of a lot to do with like black identity and your tying your identity to your home country, and a lot of powerful themes that really could only work with an almost entirely black cast.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think it is a very black movie, but in a good way.
Like, yeah.
It was just a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job. Well, I'd say, like, as far as like the story goes, and as far as like the visuals too. Like,
yeah,
the visuals were amazing. It was very, very colorful visuals, which I am always a big fan of. The problem with the older, more serious superhero movies and the DC ones is that they tend to be very gray. And everything is just kind of blurs together the same, the visuals. This is not that. This is bright, vibrant colors everywhere. When they're in Wakanda, it's a lot of vibrant, like, reds and yellows and oranges on their clothing, and the sky is a bright blue, and there's the beautiful green from the trees everywhere, and even their weapons, they're all, like, glowing blue. Like,
that's so cool.
Speaking of gray, awesome. Has anybody seen the new 50 Shades of Gray?
Absolutely not.
No. I think it's the same thing across the board. Like, people are not going to see it, and I think it's because they duped everyone into seeing like the first and second one there.
Did you guys see the first one?
I saw the first one.
Not.
No.
But I think after that, everyone was like, wow, you know, if I want to watch porn, I can just throw it on my laptop.
Okay, so I have a friend
instead
who watched
of paying 10
it
bucks.
Who I will not name here for embarrassment reasons. She has read all of the books. She knows they're bad, but she couldn't help herself from reading
guilty
all of
pleasure.
Them. And then also, like, watching the movies. And so she went in to see the third one, and her review of it was that even by the standards of the previous movies and the books, it was atrociously terrible.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They're not making any more of those, are they? Like, they're done now? Or?
I think
the
only book
was
books.
A trilogy,
okay.
So they should be done now.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Bright with Will Smith?
Oh,
Netflix
yeah.
Netflix original? Frick,
I hear
is
it's
that
awful.
Good?
Yeah,
it's
I watched a bit
no,
of it.
No, it's amazing.
It's a
is
good
it?
Movie. Yeah.
I don't know. I watched, like, 15 minutes of it, and I had to turn it off because the dialogue was, like, the worst dialogue I've ever heard
yeah,
in any
it
movie
just,
ever.
From what I've seen in commercials, the dialogue was enough to just completely turn me off. It sounded
completely
cheesy.
Fairy lives
cheesy.
Don't matter
yeah,
today.
Yeah, just that one line. I was like,
yeah,
I'm not down for this.
That was rough. And quickly back to Black Panther. We will get right back to Bright. There was a part in Black Panther where she looks at his shoes and she goes, what are those? And I don't think memes have any place in cinema. Anyways.
Well, and memes, but
that
the
seriously
thing with memes.
Happened?
Yeah.
Like, memes move
that's
so
serious.
Fast. right? Yeah. So like that's been dead for forever.
Yeah, they
now,
just
right?
saw the dead horse and they started kicking it, you know?
Actually, the guy that played Black Panther in the movie, I can't remember his name, but he just got cast to play the lead in Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. Bright, you were saying.
Yeah, so I didn't make it too far in it. I only watched about 15 minutes or so, and then that was enough for me.
Yeah.
The 15 minutes at the beginning were probably the worst part of the movie.
They were just really
should've kept on keeping
not on. Good. So Will Smith is like hanging out in his house with his wife, and then she's like, "Oh, you gotta go and kill that fairy." And he's like, "Why do I gotta go kill it?" She's like, "Well, because I don't want to do it." He's like, "All right." So he takes a broom and just kills this like evil-looking fairy creature that's buzzing around the house. And he's like, "Fairy lives don't matter today."
So he's a cop, right?
He's a cop.
Yeah.
And they live in the projects or something, right?
Yeah. But the weird thing is that, so racism in this movie exists as like, oh, there's like black people and people are racist towards them. But also there's orcs in this world, and orcs are coded as like the black underclass. But then also there's just regular black people that are treated like black people in our world. So that really just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
There's a lot of layers. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's not really like there's a lot of layers. It's like someone just took like one layer and then like poked a bunch of holes in it and then folded it over itself and was like, "There, it's layers." It's like, but
is it? Yeah.
But what were you gonna say over there, man in the window?
Exactly what Serene said.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I noticed that too, and I did think it was pretty ridiculous. But you know, I really felt for the orcs because the main character there, what was his name? The guy that was Will Smith's partner in
Jacoby.
Yeah. He was just such like a nice guy. And everyone was just so mean to him because he was an orc. He was pretty ugly, but I mean, I think orcs were just ugly.
Also, like, the reason for the racism in the world is even more confusing because, like, racism in our world exists for a lot of really complex reasons, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't really pinpoint one thing. I mean, slavery comes to mind, of course. But, you know, it's a complicated matter that reaches back a couple hundred years.
Of course, yeah.
Whereas in this world, the reason for all the racism against the orcs is that there's like an uprising, I think like 2,000 years ago or something, which first of all is way too far back in the history of this world for it to have any meaningful consequences, where there was like a Dark Lord and all of the orcs followed him, and there was like a war and they were on the losing side, and so now everyone is racist against orcs 2,000 years later because they sided with the guy that lost.
Huh.
And that's just... No, that's not how racism works.
Cultures don't last 2,000 years. But one thing I did notice that was really bad, just creativity in that movie, was, again, I liked the movie. I thought it was good. I agree with Spencer. It was a good movie. When they talked about the languages of the elves and the orcs.
So wait, there's elves and orcs in this, and this isn't
Lord
of the
Rings.
Yeah, so
there's elves, orcs, and humans. Those are
the
three.
Elves act as the higher
and
class
fairies.
Of society.
So the language for orcs is orcish. Right, really creative. And then they called the language for elves elvish, and I just kept thinking like, "Hey baby, elves big elvish," you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they said it, it was ridiculous. Elvish, like, really, you couldn't have thought of something freaking better than elvish and orcish. What, humanish? No, English. We're not Ings. We're not called Ings.
England.
You know? I know, but like, but if we're judging the languages of species, so like each species has one language, but humans know we have thousands of languages because we are just dumb.
Okay, but maybe in the world, like, there are a bunch of different dialects in like Elvish and Orcish that are similar to like our different language of dialects, maybe. But I mean, I think Bright is the wrong place to look for like big world.
I mean, Will Smith used to be like the blockbuster king,
mm-hmm.
until he said, "I want to work with my kid in movies," and then it didn't work anymore. You guys ever seen After Earth?
Thankfully
no,
not.
Yeah, that was so
shit. Seen it?
So
shit.
Now Jaden is just stomping on Will's career.
Oh, I know.
He's like blowing up.
What is life?
When we watched that Kevin Smith podcast talking about Bright in class,
yeah,
do you guys
right.
remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That convinced me to not watch the movie as well. But Kevin Smith was in the news yesterday. He actually survived a heart attack. Did you guys hear about that?
Wow,
no.
Yeah, so he was doing a stand-up show somewhere, I think, and then after he started having chest pains and had to get rushed to the hospital, he made it through. But it's crazy how stuff like that happens, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, going back to movies for a sec. Yeah. I have something I need to share with you people.
Do it.
So over the break, I watched the movie A Cure for Wellness. Have any of you seen it?
No.
No.
Do you care if I spoil it? Because I really want to tell you about how ridiculous spoil it is. All right. So people, for some reason, take this movie pretty seriously and are like, oh, it's so creative and disturbing as a horror movie. And it's like, so I'm like, all
right. What's it called?
A Cure for Wellness. It's directed by Gore Verbinski, who has a weird career path. He directed like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but also like Rain Man and Rango.
Hmm.
Like the movie where Johnny Depp is
the lizard.
Chameleon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So he's had a weird career path. Huh. And it has the guy, I can never remember what his name is. He was the guy that was the Green Goblin in the newer but not newest Spider-Man movies. He's got like Dane DeHaan, that's it.
I can't help you on that, so that you were totally on your own.
So Dane DeHaan plays this guy who works at a... at like some big corporate firm.
Yeah.
And he was like skimming money for them, and so they're like, hey, so we caught you skimming money, and now we're going through a big merger, but one of the people has gone missing and they're at this weird resort, so we want you to go and get them back, and we're blackmailing you to do it. And Dana Han's like, well, all right then. So he goes to this weird resort in the mountain, and there's this so it's a like a wellness resort hospital thing. It's like a mental health hospital. And everyone there is acting all sort of like creepy and weird. And you get the backstory that it was built on it was built on the side of a castle where the castle burnt down because this baron tried to marry his sister. And then also was, like, doing experiments on the townspeople, and the townspeople got mad, so they, like, burned his castle down. And now, like, 200 years later, it's a wellness center. And everyone is, like, acting all weird and distant. And Dane DeHaan is, like, goes and finds the guy. He's like, hey, come back with me. And the guy's like, no. Dane DeHaan's like, come on, dude. He's like, no. So Dane DeHaan's like, fine, I guess I'll leave then. And then on his way leaving, a deer crashes into his car, and he, like, wakes up in the hospital with a broken leg. And so, first of all, this deer is, like, the worst CG that I have ever seen in any movie. It is so atrociously bad.
Does it just, like, phase in front of the car, or...?
It, like, wiggles. I guess the idea is that it's supposed to be, like, contorting because it, like, jumps in front, and also, like, its legs were chained together, so it's supposed to be this, like, spooky mystery of, oh, who sent this deer here? Why did they want him to stay? Because the deer was, like, purposely crashed into him. Anyway, but it just does this weird, like, wiggling its limbs in front of the car.
Oh, my God.
And so Dane DeHaan wakes up in the hospital, and he's got a cast on his leg, so he can't leave now. And he's convinced to just, like, stay there for a couple of days while he is waiting for the guy that he needs to come back with him to be able to check out.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, literally an hour and a half of him just, like, wandering around this spooky hospital while people are, like, hinting at vague, threatening, spooky things happening, but, like, nothing actually happens.
So, like, what is the end of the movie?
For a really long time. All right, are you guys ready for this? Because I don't think you're ready for this. All right, so it turns out that the baron that tried to marry his sister 200 years ago, he was looking for a cure for his sister wife who was infertile, and he couldn't seem to get anything to work, and so he was doing experiments on the people, like the villagers, in order to find something, and they found out, and so they got all mad and they burned his castle down and they killed his sister wife. And they, like, for some reason also slit her belly open. This is not really explained why. I feel like that's not a normal thing to do when you kill someone.
Damn.
And then, like, a baby just kind of slid out of her, even though she was infertile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, this baby slid out of her. And then her dad now, like, takes her, and he found that there's this... Under his castle, there's this water where there's these weird eels living in it. Like, this weird poisonous eel water. It's poisonous. for people. But if you like do a special thing and distill it, it turns into like magic eel water that keeps you alive for a really long time.
So the opposite of poisonous.
Yeah. I cannot make this up. He makes like a live forever potion from this like distilled poison eel water, and he gives it to his daughter and to himself. So now, like 200 years later, the creepy director of this place is
the Baron.
Is the Baron, who has like replaced his face because his old one burnt off.
So you're telling me that you switched off Bright after 15 minutes, but you sat and watched this horse shit for how long was this movie?
This movie is 2.5
you
hours.
You what? 2.5 hour movie. So you didn't watch Bright because, the fairy lives don't matter. But you watched this crap.
I needed to know where it was going. I'd like to point out that all of this ridiculous nonsense happens in the last half hour of the movie. And at that point, you're not stopping. You can't get off the crazy train. In order to keep him and his daughter alive, who he now plans to marry and impregnate, but his daughter wife is also infertile.
Oh my goodness!
So
maybe because all the incest.
So he's doing all of this experimentation again, but he figured out the first time you can't just steal people from the village and expect it to turn out okay. That ends up with the burned castle.
Right.
So this time he set up this like rich person getaway health spa and is like, I guess, brainwashing them into wanting to stay there. And then he's poisoning them with the eel water by like literally just putting eels in their water. So they're like drinking little like eel eggs, not noticing. But then by the end of the movie, he's just like piping a giant like water keg of like eels in this water and directly into their throats while they're tied into this iron lung looking thing.
That's crazy.
It is so crazy. And then
what year was this movie made?
Last year.
Okay.
This sounds like three different movies.
I know.
And
so
let's repeat the title so that everybody can waste 2.5 hours of their life.
A Cure for Wellness.
A Cure for
a
Wellness?
A Cure for Wellness.
You say
and
Cure
so,
really bizarre. You say Cure.
Cure.
I'd like to have a Cure, please, because I'm sick.
Yes. So the end of the movie, the big like climax is Dane DeHaan has been brainwashed, and he is like now strapped into this iron lung, and he's being fed the eel water. But then I guess like he gets better from the brainwash, and it's not really clear how or exactly like he gets snapped out of it by this figure that his mom gave him, and that kind of makes sense, but also not really. So you just kind of have to go with it. And so he realizes like, oh man, I gotta save the Baron's daughter wife. So he like runs into the catacombs because like him being there has somehow made her fertile again, and that doesn't make sense either. But sure, just go with it. So he runs into the catacombs and sees the Baron trying to like impregnate his daughter wife, and he's like, don't do that. But before he did that, he like dumps a bunch of gasoline on like the stone floor of these catacombs. Like it's literally just a cave floor. He dumps like not even that much, like half a keg of gasoline, which is really not that much.
Yeah.
And then the Baron like starts to come over. He's still like 5 feet away from where the gas is, but Dane DeHaan lights it on fire. And even though he's so far away, the Baron's entire outfit just immediately bursts into flames.
I love it.
And so then he starts like stop dropping and rolling. He just kind of like spins around lackadaisically with like his arms out. He's like, I'm on fire. Spin, spin, spin.
And what is the daughter doing? She's just like,
the daughter is tied up on the bed.
Oh.
And so Dane DeHaan goes and frees her. And the Baron is just spinning lackadaisically on fire, which I guess somehow puts the fire out. Sure.
Yeah.
And so then him and Dane DeHaan start having a fist fight. Meanwhile, the ashes, like the entire lab is going up in flames now, which also doesn't really make any sense because they're in a stone cave. But sure, this bad CGI fire is like going up into to the top of the cave, and these little like ash dust is going through. For some reason, there is a vent at the top of the cave that leads up into like the first floor of the hospital, which really makes no sense. Why is there a vent there? It's not like he put a bunch of stuff into this cave and he made it like a special like laboratory thing. He literally just took a cave and put like a desk there. and then put some like some vials of chemicals on a shelf.
This
and
is a laboratory.
That's his lab. It's literally just a cave, but for some reason it's ventilated, sure. And so like this tiny specks of ash dust somehow float up through the vent, and the vent connected on the first floor has these curtains draped over it. And so these like tiny specks of ash dust catch it on fire.
Oh my god.
And then within seconds, the entire hospital is burst into flames.
Oh my god.
Which is like, does Gore Verbinski not understand how fire works? Because that none of this is how fire works.
So then what does everybody die, like burned it? Like,
so all of the people in the hospital are just kind of freaking out, and they're like running around while the building is on fire, and the Baron like gets killed and presumably burns, his corpse burns, and Dan DeHaan runs away with the sister wife, and he is like running and then literally runs into the people that are like from the beginning of the movie that like sent him on this mission in the first place. They like run into him in a car on the way up to the burning thing. Why they did not see the burning mansion and think maybe we should just leave?
Maybe we should not
I don't know,
go this way.
But they literally run into Dan DeHaan and this girl and they're like, what are you doing? We need you. And he's like, no. And then he just leaves and it's the end of the movie and there's not really a proper resolution. And yeah, it turns out the entire plot of this movie revolves around magic poisonous eel water.
Huh.
I don't know.
Whoa.
It felt like I was watching
that. That was a ride.
I was watching it and I felt like I was having a fever dream. I could not believe
Holy
it.
Holy
That was a full on ride.
That was a wild. So what would you rate that movie?
I would rate it a WTF out of 10.
But like
for enjoyment factor, yeah. I would say I would give the first 80% of the movie maybe like a 7 because it is pretty well shot and the mystery is intriguing enough that you want to know where it's going. The last half of the movie for like just do I think it's quality, I give it like a 1, maybe 1.5 out of 10. But for terms of pure enjoyment, I think I have to give it like at least an 8 or a 9 because I could not believe the random crap that was happening and it kept me very entertained for
it sounds
half
crazy.
Hour.
Yeah.
Like honestly, I would almost recommend just watch the last half hour of A Cure for Wellness.
Is it on Netflix? Like
it
where
is
did
not.
You no. Cool. We are almost at time. We're at 57. Did you guys have one last quick topic you
wanted to... Let's see. No.
You know what? I give this podcast a 10 out of 10. And
actually, Dan, I'd say it's more like a 12 out of 10.
Absolutely.
I think we get bonus marks for rating it.
Absolutely.
So that you didn't have to. We're doing your work for you.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Our Twitter is... Pick up a Twitter.
Oh, at Gen Life.
Sure,
that's it.
G.
Come to the magazine trade fair.
GENLY.
April.
Yes.
13th in the atrium at Red River College Exchange District Campus, where we will be covering millennial lifestyle tips.
And
fun things.
Let us know.
And
contact us on Twitter
want.
And let us know what is the worst job that you ever had. We want to know. If we get a funny story, maybe we'll talk about it on the next podcast.
We will definitely talk about it on the next podcast.
Absolutely. Also, recommend your worst movie experiences. If it's anything like A Cure for Wellness, if it tops that, let us know. And
apologies to anyone who liked that movie, because I know a lot of people do really like it unironically, but I could not with the last 30 minutes of that movie.
And lastly, if you have any cool stories about secondhand shopping, make sure to get at us.
I think that's it. All right.
Have a great day,
everyone.
I
think that's
Bye.
It.
I think we're done. All right.